The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's Hour 1, GBAC Nation, 105.3 The Fan on an overcast, maybe a foggy here Wednesday afternoon with you in the GBAC Nation. General Blencher Service, there's Broadus. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here at 75 and Fitzhugh. Woolchuck and Chiafalo, your nosebleed brothers, both in attendance. And Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Gentlemen, how we doing today?
Doing excellent. Awesome. Yeah, really good.
Right on.
I was not expecting the rain this morning when I opened up the door.
It's got an app for that,
but it's,
you know?
Been,
there's an app for that.
Yeah. App. You can look it up.
That's true. I should have been paying attention to it. I just wasn't. A little bit surprised, but it's kind of been one of those nice rainy days, you know?
Yeah.
I'm appreciating
like
it.
Kind of like when we do pregame show and you're out there without a jacket.
Yeah, no.
Got to pay attention.
Hopefully we're inside.
Sunny and 64.
On Monday?
Yeah.
For Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not windy then.
Yeah, the wind.
I think we're going to get a reprieve tomorrow and Friday, but then more rain over the weekend.
Yeah.
Hopefully that bleeds into Monday.
When do we become weathermen over here?
Well, I have a soccer tournament coming up.
Oh, are you excited?
Well, I tell you what, I am excited for the first two games, but Sunday morning we're scheduled to play the number one team
out of
Kansas City.
Oh,
and
the Comets?
I hit the simulator on the app, and they said they're going to beat us 8-0. So I'm like, well, if that rain could kick up about Saturday evening into Sunday morning, maybe that wouldn't be so bad. Yes.
I'll send you all my tricks that I know, because I used to try and have to avoid Bennett having to play high school football games.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid of the beating he was about to take.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things like that I would,
I think handing out the beating is our own. I was thinking about showing them some film of what people used to do to Messi and Maradona when they're trying to weave through. Just hammer them.
Just take them down.
Just don't do yellow cards. Let's try to get 80 fouls this
Cleans
game.
Up.
Mavs win again.
Hell yeah, they did.
On the road against a very good Grizzlies team. Am I too bullish? You know, I'm going to pick them to win the championship right here, right now. I know I talked about Boston, but this team with Clay and Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes and Spencer Dinwiddie back, Lively in year two, I think it bridges the gap. I think last year they learned the challenge that they of where they needed to get to, and they built the roster better. The guys are just getting better, obviously. The Celtics either in their prime or a little past their prime. So, you know, I don't think that's too far out on a limb. They're now 14-8, third in the West. And later, you know, we'll talk trade rumors, and I'll give you the list of players that I would trade for. It's not a long one, because I don't want to break up, you know, what this thing has going right now. The chemistry is really nice. And, you know, in the immortal words of Donnie Nelson going into the 2010-2011 season, you know, we're going to go with our guys right here. And we believe in our guys. And I think over there, if they're thinking it's going to take an amazing trade offer to get us off this stance, because we're not going to do anything to break this up unless it's for like an MVP candidate or like the perfect 3-and-D forward that could give them a shutdown guy, you know, for guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and whatnot. But, I love it. So I'm thinking championship. I don't think they're going to fall out of the bottom four in the West for the rest of the season. 877-881-1053. Give me some text feedback on that. What do you guys think?
I agree. I'm with you, man. I mean, that third quarter was really, really rough. But for them to be able to dig themselves out of that hole,
right,
come back, rally, the way they're finishing games now. I mean, and I think that when you see Kyrie out, Luka out, And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, like how is this going to look? But the depth and the way Nico has been able to build this thing, it's the best roster Luke has ever played with. So even with the injuries now, they're able to withstand all the storms. And against a team, I mean, they hadn't played Ja Morant. I think this was the first time they played him in 2 years. Yeah. He had the suspension and then injuries and he's missed games. So to me, I think absolutely they've got the makings with the two bigs, with the guard play. PJ Washington is absolutely outstanding. And if you missed him on KNC, you got to go back and listen to that. But the rebounding that he gives you, there's really not a flaw when you look at this team right now. I think you're right. I mean, maybe you could add another 3-and-D wing. I liked what you were looking at with like Shea, who was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
That's who it was. That would have been a fun fit. But yeah. I don't know. And maybe Nico still makes a move. We talked about Maxi Kleba. Like, that's a contract maybe you can get out of. But, yeah, this team's humming on all cylinders. And what Jason Kidd's been able to do in the postseason.
Yeah.
He's a guy that both times he's made the playoffs, gets to the conference finals and the NBA finals. You know he's going to be able to navigate that road, even if they don't end up getting a top four seed.
Check back with me January 1st.
Okay, why is
January
that?
1st? Is that
January 1st. At Houston, Cleveland, and then you're looking at the third combination of at Memphis.
Okay.
Check back with me then.
Nice little
And then
one.
Lakers after okay. that Memphis trip at home.
All right.
Check back with me then. Because I'm going to see, I think they're playing well. I think your schedule's had something to do with this a little bit. This was kind of one of these things when they started off 5-7, we were all kind of like, okay, here's the early part of the schedule, kind of rough, kind of trying to figure out some things. Luka not being, you know, healthy, available, whatever, dealing with injuries, all these things. They kind of weathered that, and they got to this point where they were able to play some teams, the Utahs, the Portlands, the Atlanta, some teams like that.
Yeah, but they were also super shorthanded, and they do have wins versus the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Knicks in this time.
Okay, I'm just saying.
So though, those are respectable.
Respectable wins,
but I hear what you're saying.
Give me, when I think that we'll know a lot more about this team after Christmas, and I'm saying January 1st. Get through that stretch, that first week of January, and see where you are after playing the Clevelands and people like that.
Well,
too.
I think one thing to be really, really excited about is just usually defensively, you can see this team sleepwalk for a while, and it takes them, especially when they have some different casts of characters, and it's been a rotation of dudes with all the injuries, of course. But like, they're already a top 10 defense right now. When you look at the net rating stuff, they're top 5 in offense and they're top 10 in defense.
Wow.
So, like, that seems to be something that is able to come together for them. And a lot of times we've seen them when they go on their runs, it's not till post All-Star.
And PJ Washington being out, like, really breaks their defense. So, you know, they missed, what, 4 games of him. They've missed a number of games, Lively and Gafford. So I think if you can get this thing to full strength when we arrive in mid-April, they'll be, you know, as well prepared as anybody. What do you think, Chief? Are you picking them to come out of the West?
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly right there. I think the minimum for this team needs to be the Western Conference Finals. You never know how things can go in a series, but they are right there with one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the West that you feel great about. And Luka returning to form has been really, really nice to see, and it seems like he's a little bit revitalized. Hopefully he's healthy and he can stay that way, because it was a little shaky there to start, but now you've seen just total Luka dominant eruptions, and then defensively getting his hands on basketballs. I mean, that sequence last night where it's steal, coast-to-coast, steal, alley-oop to Derek Lively, it was like, gosh dang it, bro, this is awesome.
It was.
Okay, the text says, I'm sleeping on Cleveland coming out of the East. I mean, I need to believe it to see it. I just don't think Donovan Mitchell is going to take you to multiple playoff series victories. The shorter guys that don't play defense, you know, they're just exposed in a massive way. The centers that can't switch and the little guys that don't play defense will get you murked in the NBA playoffs, Brian. Okay, what else do we have going on here? Oh, let me get a few more texts in here. Let me get some feedback. Brian, stick to football, says the 469. I don't think that's necessary.
Man, I
Brian's a proper NBA insider.
I got a lot of NBA insider sources. Yeah. So you might want to back up a little bit.
Yeah, when we start, if you're watching on the video,
back it up.
Back that thing up.
Take a walk.
If you watch the show on video, when we start an NBA topic and ask a question, oftentimes Brian will break out his phone and start texting hitting people.
Yeah.
And then about 90 seconds later, he's like, here we go. I'm ready, guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Got a lot of sources. That's why you listen 5 hours a day. Appreciate it, though.
Yes, sir.
We do appreciate you listening.
At 877-881-1053, if you have feedback on that, we'll get to a little bit more of that in a minute. Just to reset, the big Cowboy story from yesterday happened mid-show. Dak says he wants Mike back. I've decided I'm buying that. I know there's politics that can be played. He won 12 games 3 times in a row. He was in the MVP conversation. And I think, like, work continuity, work vibes, I think is important to Dak, the positive environment that Mike helps create being a player's coach. And I'm going to stick with, I believe Dak likes the offense. Maybe he wants some more of this, some more of that, but that's not going to change with any coach you have. You're always going to have feedback and differences of opinion with the coach. I just think, you know, Kellen Moore was supposed to bring all these bells and whistles, and it looked very similar to, you know, what Jason Garrett had been doing. I believe that Dak is like Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning in that they like a static offense and static defense, because all that chaos right at the snap, there's all sorts of player movement, and it's no disrespect, but even Peyton Manning, you know, maybe my GOAT, wasn't great at reading the play as it was moving. He wanted to know who he was going to based on the defense that he was looking at and, you know, go from there. Where Tom Brady, other players, Patrick Mahomes, much better improvising, much better with their spatial awareness, their anticipation of how things are going to open up as it's evolving in real time. There's a lot of different, you know, quarterback styles. And I just think it's too much of a coincidence. We've had so many different OCs look at this and work with Dak and not give us much different than what Jason Garrett had been doing.
I just wonder how how do you not watch what other teams are doing around the league as far as how their guys are getting open, and it's going to make your job easier, but you kind of want to play static offense where people can cover you and make you tight window throws every time you drop back.
I know.
How can you want that as a quarterback? You know, and I get it. Peyton Manning, hey, one of the best. Played with Marvin Harrison on the right side the whole time. Never moved.
Yeah.
Kind of knew where Marvin Harrison was the whole game. You know, I get it.
I think they believe it. They just need better players. Like Tom Brady would say, get me receivers. I can't score 30 points with these guys.
Yeah.
I think, and they look at how they were top 5 offense for 3 years in a row, and they think that's the validation that this is good. But there's more to achieve.
Trying to make your job easier.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to play static football. I don't know. That kind of got me a little bit confused.
The SMU story was a lot of fun last night. We talked about it. AD Rick Hart taking to Twitter last night, arguing, probably just clapping back to Iowa State's Jamie Pollard, who was raising questions with the quote, "Message is clear, win as many games as possible, regardless of who you play. Time to rethink non-conference scheduling. Very different standards than the basketball committee." Clap back, Rick hit him. He said, "Jamie, respect you. You, but bad take. ISU had had no defense. Iowa, Arkansas State, non-conference. SMU had Nevada, TCU, BYU scrambled due to Vandy dropping us. SMU 1 of 2 to win all conference games. 1 of 3 with 9 Power 4 wins. Trailed a total of 6+ minutes the last 9 games. I could go on." And he says, "Stay off my lawn." Does SMU have anything to
stay off my lawn
to be defensive about, Brian?
I'll tell you what, I do worry if SMU loses this game. I think they become last year's Florida State. I do.
Yeah.
I think that could very well happen to them, because I don't know how much. I think the voters respect them, but I don't think they respect them to the point where they would put him in this thing if they lost.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing that should have happened to Indiana. Like, this is your first true test.
Yeah.
And you S the bed versus the Buckeyes. Indiana still stays in there. For SMU, they really haven't played anybody. And if you go out there and show that you can hang with Clemson, now you've shown me something. Now everything that we've seen that we're still kind of questioning, you can answer it versus a quality opponent. But right now your strength of schedule is 75th. And when you played against a top 25 team, BYU, you lost. Your best wins, Louisville and Duke. So it is fair to say, if you don't show up versus Clemson, then all of a sudden now everything you've done versus pretty crap teams throughout the season becomes a moot point.
The committee then opens up a huge can of worms, though. And Rhett Lashley was just talking about this while I was prepping for the show. He's like, look, if that's what they're going to do, teams are just going to forfeit not playing the conference championship game. Because SMU today is in.
Yeah.
So if their entire team got COVID, didn't show up and play, they make the playoff. If you want to say, okay, they lose to Clemson, now you're out, then why the hell am I playing in a conference championship game? And that's going to cause problems for the future. They either need to get rid of the conference championship games. I don't think the committee is going to punish SMU if they lose because of that very reason.
I mean, these conference championship games make so much money, though.
Yeah, I do disagree with you, Wolchek. I think they're going to get punished if they lose this game. And I do feel like that the SEC and the Big Ten commissioners are running this thing.
I think that's 100%
true. I think that as much as, I mean, when you watch the selection committee for the 64 for basketball, they don't care who they match up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. If it's a really juicy second round, they don't care. They don't care how early it is. And wow, we're gonna lose Kentucky and Syracuse or whoever in round two.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care. This, I think they care. I think they really, really do care because they feel like they have to get this right. But I guarantee you the Big Ten and the SEC are running this thing.
A lot going on behind the scenes in college football. I would be so ecstatic to have a game just a mile north, half mile north.
Oh, no. Awesome. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome to see SMU be involved with this. But, hey.
Well, you get that if they lose, actually, and if they lose close enough to where they keep them in.
That'd be awesome.
Because if they win this thing, then, of course, they'll get the bye.
I just worry they're going to make the argument. I think this committee is looking at your quality wins more than they're looking at your bad losses.
For sure, because Bama's in. And the way they lost to OU
Notre Dame,
is just
there's
disgusting.
Nobody has a worse loss in this thing to Notre Dame than Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, what's Indiana's quality win?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, Tyler Seguin out 4-6. That's a pretty big deal. Tough to see that. Season ender. Stars looking for their fourth win in a row at the Kings tonight. Okay, and we're coming back. G-Bag of the Day at 2:30, but not before a Chuck Wagon, Zach.
Ooh, we got a new mock draft, and the Mavs are moving up in the power rankings. That's next.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championships. Stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
Yeah, buddy. G-Bag of the Day coming up 7.5 minutes. Time for a Chuck Wagon. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in a car, truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Nations brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Wolchek, what do you say?
All right, we've got Memphis in West Virginia. That's been announced as the Frisco Bowl matchup, brought to you by Scooter's Coffee. So if you're interested, December 17th at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas, you can go check out Memphis in West Virginia.
West Virginia fired their coach.
They did. They sure did.
Memphis is playing well. Didn't they beat Tulane down the stretch?
Yeah,
and it kind of spoiled Tulane's plans a little bit.
They did. So now we're slowly getting bowl game matchups announced. Doesn't feel quite the same, I don't know, for me, with this 12-team playoff. It's like, I don't really care too much. But, yeah, I'll probably watch if it's on
TV. You have to. You're
absolutely.
Doing the draft. You
I mean, those, for sure.
Of the guys that play.
Yeah, unless you get the opt-outs, that's true. I know Miami was really ticked off. They weren't part of the 12 teams in the playoff. They fell 6 spots to number 12, technically, in the rankings. But Arizona State getting that 12th spot over them as the Big 12 representative as of now. And Mario Cristobal was campaigning yesterday. Hey, I hope the committee just please, okay? Give us an opportunity. We won 10 games this year. Not many teams have.
Lost 2 of the last 3.
And they came down to one possession. That's a very different resume than the 9-3 team, says Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of their wins came down to the last possession as well.
Amen.
ACC officials might have helped them win a couple of them, too.
Yeah.
Remember those games we were talking about? Yeah.
I think that was Virginia Tech.
Virginia, yeah.
Like, Miami doesn't really have a signature win. I guess Florida, but that's very, very flimsy.
Stretching it right there.
Florida's played a lot better.
They have.
They finished the season strong.
Sure did. Saved that dude's job.
They did. Now, redshirt sophomore Julian Humphrey is not going to finish out the season with Georgia. He started in 10 games this year for the Bulldogs next to Malachi Starks. The safety. Yeah, who's awesome. I mean, he's going to end up being probably a top 10 pick.
You're winning enough games to get him if you want.
But he's now been kicked off the team. Said, I'm going to enter the portal. Kirby Smart said, all right, well, then you don't need to play for us anymore. This is such a weird thing to do. Like, your team, right, is playing in an SEC championship game. You're probably going to be playing in the playoff as well. You're competing for a national championship, and he's saying, all right, I'm going to go ahead and enter the portal. I get what Kirby Smart's doing here. It's like, you don't want to be here, then we don't need you.
Yeah.
But, man, the timing of this whole thing is just very, very bizarre. But I guess maybe
can't help it. We're in a different era with these players' relationships with their programs and stuff. They can leave at a drop of a hat.
And I guess you got to get into the portal, set yourself up. But that's just bizarre. He must really not like it, his situation there in Georgia. Now we got to follow up with the Miami mascot who has reacted to the reporter that accused him of hitting on her during the game.
Sebastian the Ibis. I was wondering if that was our old rowdy buddy. Who's taken over for Sebastian?
Yeah, these mascots,
after that
man.
Jerry story,
they're going rogue. Well, he responded to the article that came out on Instagram. Said they'll do anything for clout. Underscore Sebastian, his official Instagram, and he's basically calling this report BS, saying he didn't do this. I don't know. Maybe somebody else got in the suit and went ahead and tried to get this girl's digits. But
wow,
Sebastian's calling ball sack on it.
It'd be a good play for her because it's been great. It's been great for her.
Nobody knew who she was. Like, well, she's not nobody, but not many people.
Yeah, she's become national now. So I actually
he gave her the bird.
He sure did.
He wanted to.
Quack, quack, quack. All right, we got a new fresh Dane Brugler mock draft, Brian. Just check this out.
Talked about it last night.
Oh, baby, let's go. Okay, so he's got Travis Hunter going number one overall to Jacksonville.
He's got him playing corner, by the way.
I don't hate that. I think maybe
a lot of people will do that. Except
me. It might be the easiest way to try and get him to play both ways. Because, like, you could still play him. Like, we've seen corners then play some wide receiver.
I think he'll have a huge impact as a wide receiver myself.
I love him. To me, I've seen four wide receivers so far, I still think he's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
He's outstanding.
That Arizona one's pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, no, the Arizona kid, 6'5", kind of a blend of, like, Mike Evans and Keenan Allen for me. Very, very, very good. But Cam Ward is the first quarterback off the board, going to the Raiders at 2, followed by Shedeur Sanders at 3 to the Giants. So two quarterbacks in the top three, but Cam Ward is the first quarterback off of Dane Brugler's mock draft board. Cowboys right now picking at 13. He's got them taking Luther Burden, the wide receiver out of Missouri, who is an outstanding player. There's no question about that. But wide receiver in the first round, he's got them taking Burden over a couple of defensive tackles, a corner that goes right behind him.
Can you tell me what defensive tackle went behind him?
It was Derek Harmon.
Okay, then I'm totally okay with that.
You got Burden ahead of Harmon?
Yeah, I've got Burden ahead of Harmon, yes.
And then Shamar Stewart was the other defensive lineman that went a couple picks after the Texas A&M tackle.
I'm totally okay with what they just did.
So what do we need to know about Burden? What type of receiver is
he? This guy's got unbelievable athletic ability. Run after catch is incredible. I mean, he can separate. He's fluid. He catches everything. I mean, he could probably 2 years ago he was a little bit better. I mean, he had a better season 2 years ago. This season, though, he's still pretty good. He's got really soft hands. He could snatch that ball. He could extend to make tough plays. The after catch, he's a big-time route runner. The agility, the way he's able to get down the field, he's explosive. Mm-hmm. You could put him in the backfield. This kid has got a little bit of Deebo Samuel to his game. He is tough with the ball.
Oh, okay.
In his hands.
He's explosive. Right.
Yeah,
explosive
player. Very impressive athlete for the position.
Is he a slot guy or is he?
No, he can play
outside.
He can play outside, inside.
He's 5'11", 208 pounds. I think he's a perfect height to be a wide receiver the way he plays.
He is. Kind of Jamar Chase-esque build there for me. 5'11", 210, as you pointed out. Yeah, he's awesome. I would not mind. Like, receiver, I'm all about really building in the trenches, but that'd be a player to be excited about. And he'd help you. And he can also probably return for you as well.
Yep.
Maybe mix in with the kick and punt return game. And then finally, how about the Mavs moving up in the power rankings? They jumped up from 11 to 8 on ESPN's rankings. These came out yesterday. So this is before they knocked off the fifth-ranked team, the Memphis Grizzlies, last night, who are on the number 5 spot in the power rankings. Number 1 is Boston, followed by Cleveland, Oklahoma City, the Houston Rockets.
There you go.
And then Memphis.
What about the jump in the seeding, though? I mean, 2 weeks ago, they were the 11th seed in the West. Now they're the 3 seed.
Yeah.
They've been on an absolute tear. They really, really have.
This is getting really fun.
It is.
Well, thank you, old Chuck.
Thank you.
There it is, a Chuck wagon for you. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag today.
Here, lizard, lizard. Big lizard coming.
Godzilla! Godzilla! Man.
Big Godzilla. I've seen them all out there. Godzilla, what is it, minus one? Godzilla minus one still might be the best Godzilla I've ever seen in my entire life.
Which one was that one?
It came out last year.
Yeah.
Oh, now okay. It's available so on Netflix.
Good. Yeah, really good, bro. Oh, my gosh. And I've seen them all. I've seen the one that had, what is that, Andy Griffith in it? Or what was it? No, Perry Mason. Yep. Perry Mason was in the darn Godzilla. Yeah, Perry Mason. And they killed Godzilla in that one right there. Blew up in a bomb. Yeah. She was misunderstood. She was there to help those cats, but they was all scared. Oh, my God. But she can do this. She can do that. Let's just kill her. Oh. And they kill big Godzilla.
Brandon Burr?
Boy, that stuck with me for a long time.
You got to try to befriend something like that.
You got to try to befriend. She was out there trying to help them. Just misunderstood. Big Godzilla.
Is minus one kid friendly, you think?
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good, bro. It's good stuff.
I kind of like the way that Godzilla was able to travel in the water. Yeah, like awesome. Some agility in that water.
Yeah, she was fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was
That's
fast.
Not easy.
Not easy at all.
Metaphor for the bomb, by the way.
Okay.
Metaphor for the bomb. Shout out to America making Godzilla.
And, dude, I was watching World War II in color. You know how they remastered it?
Yes. Don't tell me stuff like that.
I was watching that over the Thanksgiving. Okay, it's on Hulu right now. And the napalm campaign they went on a year before the Enola Gay killed more in one night than the nuke. Yeah.
Tell them.
And Tokyo was just all on fire. It looked like a massive forest fire.
That's insane.
Yeah, history.
They wouldn't give up.
History is mind-blowing when you go into it. You're like, wow, that really happened? Yeah. Holy smokes.
It is, dude. It's crazy. I don't think there's any way it could happen today.
That's a good thought right there. I'm going to have.
Hopeful thinking.
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
Holiday season.
I hear you. But you said that America in color or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
World.
I mean, it was two parts, right? It gave you the Nazi part all the way through, and then it started with the Pacific part.
Yeah, okay. So I mentioned America in color because that's what I watch. It's on Hulu as well.
Yeah.
The toys that made America, the foods that made America, all these things. Oh, my gosh. It's brilliant.
It is. It's great content.
Yeah, you're stuck into it all day. All right, our winner right here in champ is Jerry Jones. He got us again. Told a hell of a story about former mascot. Rowdy in the Rowdy van.
We're back in Dallas, and the Rowdy van, a Rowdy wagon, is found outside of this place about 2 a.m. And of course, Rowdy basically uses that van for all kinds of birthday parties and
shagging.
All of those kinds of things.
Yeah, sin bin.
It just is not the place to have it. Well, there it was in the paper, a big shot of the Rowdy van sitting in front of the strip club. So I bring him in. And boy comes in, but he doesn't have his Rowdy outfit on. It's the real boy.
And I'm saying,
now look, I said, this is the twice I've visited with you about an issue of something like this. And I said, do you understand this is getting old, and I want this stuff to stop. You're just right there on the edge out of bounds every time I look up. And he looked over at me and he said, Mr. Jones, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. with no outfit on at all, he says, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. I said, son, first of all, I like to have died. Well, how do you not love somebody that can give you that kind of reply?
Yeah.
I'll talk to Rowdy about it.
Quick on his feet.
We'll get it figured out.
I got to see this Rowdy wagon.
Me too.
I got to see what it looked like.
I'll take
bro.
A picture of it for you tomorrow.
Please don't.
I park by it when I go over there.
I wonder if there's any dudes out here that had the Rowdy wagon in this driveway. What the hell's going on over here?
Honey, I'm home.
Hey, what's going on here? Whose big ass hat is this? Yeah. Whose boots is these?
Well, the way I understand it, he was still wearing the head.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God! You have to throw everybody away. I'm done with everybody.
Truth to that.
All right, let's do a little soccer situation here, right here, Mr. Dawson.
Yeah.
Champions League.
Let's go.
CBS Sports. Go, Golasso. Kate Scott. Used to be Kate Adu or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like looking at old Kate. She's a great broadcaster. Well, she banned one of her crew members and co-hosts, Micah Richards.
Yes.
From talking about
Big Micah.
Dawson, you never talked about this.
Uh-oh.
There's a team called Brest FC.
Okay.
Brest FC.
This is a team called Brest FC. I'm surprised Zach and Eric has never brought up
Never heard of Brest FC.
FC.
It's an unfortunate blind spot for
I mean, come on, dog. This is y'all's bag, bro.
That's crazy.
Is this y'all's bag?
Tell me how much I love soccer.
Yeah.
Can we get him in on TD Tuesday?
Brest FC.
Yeah, but he can't talk about Brest.
We are going to do a segment about Brest. Unfortunately, we do feel that you have consistently proven that you can't stay professional in these segments where we're talking about Brest. So we would just, production would like to ask you, are you comfortable with just staying silent whilst we...
Come on, Kat, I can do this.
No, we really think it's for the best.
Well,
we think
it's for the best. About it.
Trust me, I know
I'm sorry.
I'm
trust no. me. If you could just agree and we can move on
just
with the segment.
Agree.
Please.
Right.
Thanks very much. All right, so after four games, who here likes Brest? Like Brest. Mm. You do too?
I like the shape of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at the setup from the manager he's got, you know.
I'm interested, how much do you enjoy watching them? Would you pay to watch them?
I have done.
No, but basically, one thing that you can say is you don't have to be big, you can be small and compete.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. Good. Do you think Brest could get exposed tonight?
I hope so.
I hope so.
Oh, my God.
And the analyst couldn't handle it, huh?
I guess one of the things
what
you have to
this?
Wonder
is... What is this?
What is this?
What is this? HR! Wow!
Pardon me, sir. You're not mature enough for this.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Mikey? Do you think Barcelona could come a bit quickly for Brest tonight?
Wow.
Whoa, I think it might have crossed the line.
That was it. That's where the line was.
Hey, Sha!
I love it. Yeah, that's my vote.
That's out. Yeah, that's a good bid.
Hey.
Very ample. Oh, check. Very ample budget there at Brest.
I hear you. Brest FC. It's a real thing out there. It has a longer name, but that's a short name of it, I guess.
Is it Stady? Stady Brest 29?
Like Brest Law.
I was just looking it up.
Hey, that sounds like an OnlyFans account. That yeah. She was looking at what you talking about, bro.
S-T-A-D-E.
It's
Brest 29.
That's what I'm saying. I looked up B-R-E-S-T. And they're playing in a. They're playing.
Somebody
soccer.
Get Broadus's phone. All right, last one right here. I thought my man Eric was going to play this because he sent this to me, and I liked it as a G bag of the day and nominee anyway. And it sat in the folder yesterday. Jameis Winston is leaning on the help of the Lord.
Oh,
leaning on the help of God to stop them interceptions.
I am a better player, you know. But in times like this, you know, that's. It's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
That's not me. Please.
A phenomenal game. Offense. Do some great things. But I mess it up.
I mess it up.
It's amazing.
I mess it up.
My man has altar call. And he goes down there and says, I just want the Lord to stop me from throwing pick sixes.
Yeah.
And the whole church is praying, God, Jesus, Lord, bless Winston's win.
Get your hands on him.
Dude, I keep thinking that he's going to leave football and become a minister, but he might already be preaching right there from the press conference.
Yeah, that's his pulpit.
He's dropping it. Okay, salute to Jameis Winston leaning on the Lord there. Brest FC coverage there on Sky Sports. Was that Sky? Jerry Jones with the legendary rowdy story. I'm going to vote for soccer chief.
Jameis Winston.
We're tied at one, Lucius.
Yeah, me too, Mr. Winston.
Walter?
I'll go with the Brest.
Brian?
Brest.
By a score of 3-2 and new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's analysis of Brest FC. Okay, when we return, it's time for a sports hodgepodge. Chia, follow what's in store.
The origin of the golden bat rule becomes damning evidence for those who think it's BS next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Time now for Eric Chiafalo to deliver his sports hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. So we know the baseball storm surrounding the golden bat rule has been loud over the last 48 hours or so. And I think in the G-Bag Nation, we're actually for this. We're all kind of excited about it. Bassick and... Guys like Derek Holland are offended at the notion. And the funny thing is I saw a clip today that is from almost 10 years ago. This is back in 2015. And this is from when the Dan Le Batard show was on ESPN. And his co-host, Stu Gatz, teed up a question. They had Manfred on. And they were teeing up, like, I guess, like different ways to make the sport better or whatever. This is almost 10 years ago. And so he actually comes up with this exact idea. Now, I believe he called it the magic at bat or something like that, not the golden bat, but that's semantics. This is the moment that Manfred gets the idea in his mind, and listen to the way he reacts to it.
In baseball, when I go to a Marlins game, I'm only going to see four at-bats at Stanton. So I want to implement what I like to call the magic at-bat, where each manager at any time during the game,
oh, for the love of God,
can go with, because Commissioner, I'm not going to see a pitcher hit. I'm not going to see a shortstop hit. I'm going to see Stanton hit. So 4 to 5 magic at-bats for each manager, where he can put Stanton in whenever he wants. And there's smoke and the kids love magic, Commissioner.
You're wasting this man's time.
What do you think?
I'm with your friend. You're wasting my time.
Yes.
Why? I think that's a crazy idea.
That's a crazy idea.
You're wasting my time. That's a crazy idea. Now he's taking the idea almost 10 years later and running with it as if it's his own. He puts his own golden bat rule spin on it, so it's a different name, trying to hide in plain sight that some schmo who was probably just completely joking around teed up this ridiculous idea. He crapped all over it, made the guy feel small and insignificant. And now a decade later, he's taking it and running with it. That is incredible for Manfred. And it does show, I guess, just how ridiculous the entire idea is.
To one of my favorite personalities in ESPN history, I mean, Stu Gatz's whole bit was I'm hungover playing golf and talking sports, and I love it. I love Stu Gatz.
The kids love magic. There'll be smoke. It's just so
everybody
good
loves magic. Come on.
It's the magic at bat. Let's go, Commish. What do you say?
At that time, before the Astros stole a World Series and the Red Sox cheated too, he was still trying to take himself seriously as a commissioner and failing. I think the truth is he is just, a guy that does what the owners of the teams want, and that's where sports commissioning is going. So you have to be flexible. You have to be willing to go back because they pay him huge amounts of cash to basically be a flak jacket for the owners.
Huge. Do you think the owners are pushing for this, or do you think this is just all one big bit to just garner up some headlines and have us talking?
I think it's an interesting idea that's fun to talk about. One of those radical things. But, last year around this time or maybe just 6 months ago when we were talking about the NFL kickoff, it seemed far-fetched.
Yeah.
And baseball has made a number of adjustments, so I couldn't rule it out, but I think it's a small percentage of people inside baseball that are trying to build momentum with it, best I can tell.
It's crazy just how offensive the idea is to the seam heads and
it's
the purists.
Anything with baseball, it's always like this. There's always just a groundswell of pushback, and it's, oh, you're ruining the sport. It's a gimmick. The rule changes that they've made recently have helped the game.
Yeah.
This is a one-time, a one-at-bat, and people are losing their minds. Like, well, just go to four batters. I mean, just go ahead. Let's just cut the team in half. I mean, guys. It's a one-time
I'd be down
deal.
For that, but they can't stay healthy enough when they're only batting four nights.
Strategy involved.
Magic at bat, golden at bat, whatever you want to call it, or robot umpires. Which one would you rather have?
Well, you're going to get the robot umps when we're out there at spring training. They're going to try
Which
it
one
out.
Would you rather have in a game?
Golden at bat. It's more fun.
Yeah, me too. And I still like the idea, ultimately, of manager getting in the face of spitting, screaming, throwing punches perhaps.
At the robot
ump? Well, no, I don't know that he would do it to the robot ump. I think we'd lose that part of baseball where old manager guy goes limping out.
Starts kicking dirt on.
Yeah, exactly. He's throwing his hat. Those are moments that I would miss greatly.
I mean, if you could get a passive enough robot, it would be fun to watch managers like push him down and kick dirt out. It's a victimless crime at that point.
That's true.
The robot ump just picks up the manager and escorts him off the field.
All of a sudden, robot ump opens up just like a ray gun.
Manager takes the golden bat and just starts beating the hell out of the umpire, the robot umpire with it. I'm here for it. I am surprised, though, because what are these athletes? So I guess they've just been lying their whole lives when they talk about, we want to go up against the best, man. Yeah. We want to go up against the best.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Don't you? Okay, well then prove it. Put your freaking money where your mouth is.
There are a lot of baseball players are against this.
It would keep,
I know. It is. It's unanimous.
They're all lined up.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, they've been lined up against a lot of stuff for my entire life. In my entire life, you've watched baseball lose mind share to the NFL, you know, and now soccer. Okay, so you want to keep saying, oh, we're stuck in the past. Baseball was great when people needed something to do for 3 hours a day. And the closer we got to television, color television, HDTV, every one of those innovations has taken away from, wow, what am I going to do all night? Back in the day, you sat around and listened to the radio, and that was baseball's heyday. It was perfect because there wasn't, you know, better content to consume. But now you're in a content competition, and the battlefield has changed massively, you know. So you're competing against TikTok.
We just got the Dutch text. The rule is stupid. Come on, you dumb mother bleepers. Walchuk in particular, go F yourself. That's a direct quote.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, Dutch is coming up on 40 probably.
Really
still looking
that?
Good.
He's looking damn good. I saw him up here for Matt, Peace-a-thon.
Yeah.
Just a lean machine.
Shredded. Yeah. Looks like he could still play, but
you don't find that suspicious.
He's getting pretty close to Krusty.
Yeah, I mean, Dutch, I thought you wanted to go up against the best. And people are saying, like, you can't have back-to-back Ohtani moments. You just struck out Ohtani, now he goes again. No. When we were talking about it yesterday, it's like, no, you can't go back-to-back. You can have some guidelines within this here.
No. If you want to go back-to-back, you get an extra out. I mean, you get out. Instead, if you had one out and you want to use your golden at-bat, and you want to back-to-back that guy, you now have two outs.
Workshop it.
With hit the plate.
I mean, we're the fans you want. Other than Woolchuck, who eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. That's why he did such a wonderful job in the pre- and post-game show. I keep advocating for him to get back in there.
I know.
You know, but
I get told every day.
But, you know, I think
he should. I enjoyed listening to him.
I consume the Rangers always when they're winning. If they're not, take it or leave it. Other baseball games, sure, if it's on. I'm what they are looking for to get the fans that grew up watching baseball 24/7, 365, never missed a playoff game, you know, unless I was at school, watched all the World Series games, played baseball probably 6 months out of the year, whether it was home run derby in the backyard or, you know, in a league. Like, baseball was a huge part of American fabric, and it's weird that as much as we played it, my age of people played it growing up, we find ourselves looking at other sports now. Because it's not as explosive. There's not as much action. There's just not as... If I tune in, I'm generally thinking, I might not see jack squat for the next 45 minutes. You know, at least guarantee me Ohtani's coming up twice in the bottom of the ninth, I'm in.
High leverage situations.
Best on best.
To be the best, you got to beat the best, right?
Damn right.
All right, speaking of best, who was better? I have two halftime speeches here. College football weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into the Oregon locker room at halftime first, or the Arizona State Sun Devil locker room first?
Question.
Let's go here, Dillingham.
Okay, we start with Dillingham, ASU head coach. This dude's hilarious. Listen to this halftime speech. This is a versus here. You got to choose your coach, who you run through a wall for. Take it away, Dillingham.
Same thing we said earlier in the week. Twist the knife. We have yet to finish a mother game. We've yet to do that. All year, we've done the same finish the mother game. With a vengeance. If we think we are who I think we are, a team that can compete for championships, we come out in the second half and we twist the knife. No pity for the mother kitty.
Wow.
pretty
no
fired
pity.
Up. No pity for the kitty. And
Arizona State Wildcats.
Twist that knife.
Arizona Wildcats, right?
Got pretty violent there. Now here's Dan Lanning. It's the year of the Dan, from Quinn to Campbell to our guy, Mr. Lanning there, number one in the country. He's been great with some of the speeches and just the way he goes about leading his team. At some point at the end here, you'll hear roars and smashing. He has a Washington Huskies helmet in there that he's taking a sledgehammer to at halftime. Take it away, Coach Lanning.
Nobody came here for one half. Right now, our offense has rushed for 105 yards. They've rushed for 34. Out-physical your opponent. Defense, you're starting this job. You, right? Get us the ball back.
Get ball back.
Yeah. We talked about mashing heads.
Yeah, we did.
That guy.
Who's your guy? Who are you running through a wall for? You going to ASU? No, yeah. No pity for the kitty.
Bleep off.
Broadus, you going with...
That's the pitchfork.
That's the pitchfork.
Okay, it's Dan Lanning all day, every day, baby.
2-1. Lucius, what say you?
Arizona, baby.
Yeah, well, let's make it 4-1. Kenny Dillingham, you badass.
He did it,
twist
man.
The knife.
Has ASU back in this thing?
Ooh, yeah, dude.
Okay, NFL news of the day coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you going?
Well, we got some Cowboy news. Dak Prescott, when it comes to his injury status, and man, Campbell gives a fiery speech as well. That's next.